The following talk is from St. Michael's Fulwell, a gospel-centered community for Fulwell, Teddington, and beyond. Our passion is to see every life following Jesus. For more information, visit our website, stmichaelsfulwell.co.uk.
We're now going to come and have our Bible reading, and Laura's going to come and give that to us in a minute. We're in Psalm 114, page 615 in your church Bibles. And if you're sitting at an end by an aisle, please do pick up one of those handouts and pass them along the row.
Psalm 114. When Israel came out of Egypt, Jacob from a people of foreign tongue, Judah became God's sanctuary, Israel his dominion. The sea looked and fled, the Jordan turned back. The mountains leaped like rams, the hills like lambs. Why was it, sea, that you fled? Why, Jordan, did you turn back? Why, mountains, did you leap like rams, you hills like lambs? Tremble, earth, at the presence of the Lord, at the presence of the God of Jacob, who turned the rock into a pool, the hard rock into springs of water.
Amazing. Thanks so much, Laura. Good evening, everyone. Great to see you. Great to be with you. My name's Toby. I'm an assistant minister here at St. Michael's. Have you ever felt yourself to be in the presence of something that was greater than yourself? Have you ever felt like you're in the presence of something that was greater than yourself? If so, how did you experience that? What was it like? What did it do to you? Hannah and I, my wife, were recently in Italy for our 10th wedding anniversary. And on the morning that we were due to drive home, we were having breakfast and we looked out and there's a picture of sort of ominous-looking cloud that had started to drift along the sort of valley of the lake that we were next to. And it started quite slowly and gently, and then all of a sudden, this massive storm just hit, and it was absolutely breathtaking. The thunder was so loud, you could sort of feel it in your chest, and it was the kind of storm I'd not been in for ages, and it was thunder of the kind that makes you kind of scared. There's something sort of instinctive that was like, wow, that was something else. We felt very small, it felt big, it felt other, and we had to then contemplate driving down this incredibly narrow, steep, winding road, and the rain was so thick you couldn't see more than 20 metres in front of you. It was crazy. But it felt like something bigger than we were. Have you ever felt the presence of God? If so, what was that like? What did it do to you? We are in a series at the moment called Prompted to Praise. We're looking at four psalms that traditionally would have been sung around Passover by the Old Testament people of God. Passover was a celebration which looked back to the events in Exodus. Tonight we're in Psalm 114, which is explicitly about that story. And it's a song that is marveling at the presence of God with his people. Shall I pray? And then we'll explore it together. Father, we praise you that you are a God who chooses to be present, that you're a God who chooses to draw near to any who are trusting in you, any who are trusting in Jesus. We thank you, Lord, for this psalm, for all that it says. We pray that you would speak to us now, that we'd be attentive to what you want to say to us. Amen. And point number one on your handout, God's presence is awesome. God's presence is awesome. Have a look at the psalm, verse 1. When Israel came out of Egypt, Jacob from a people of foreign tongue. So straight away, this song is telling us the story of the Exodus. We're right into that story. In that story, God's people were an enslaved people. They were oppressed. They were held captive by the nation of Egypt. But God heard their cries and rescued them and brought them out of that nation. So then we come to verse 2. Judah became God's sanctuary, Israel his dominion. God rescued his people and then God came to be with his people. And this was seen in a number of ways. It was a sort of the coming period of time after that rescue. First, he was there as a pillar of cloud in the day and a pillar of fire by night. Then they encountered him in power at Mount Sinai. Then later in the tabernacle and then in the temple. Israel, God's people, became his sanctuary, his dominion, the place where God dwelt, the place that was his, where he ruled in a special way. And here we get a sense of Israel going from a kind of feeling of alienation, surrounded by a people of foreign tongue, to one of closeness and intimacy with the God who'd rescued them. God's presence was with his people. Verses 3 and 4 in the psalm then continue this sort of sweeping, quick overview of the Exodus story. Verse 3, the sea looked and fled, the Jordan turned back, the mountains leapt like rams, the hills like lambs. This is really vivid, vibrant, sort of poetic language. Powerful images of the sea and the Jordan River encountering something. We're not told yet what, the psalm is sort of keeping us in suspense. But they're encountering something and fleeing, turning back, flowing the other way, running away in terror. And we're told of mountains and hills encountering something and leaping, shaking, like they're sort of jumping out of their skin. these verses are referring to the parting of the Red Sea in Exodus 14 and the parting of the River Jordan in Joshua 3. And when Israel get to Mount Sinai in Exodus 19. The psalm then moves on, verses 5 and 6. It sort of asks the sea and the river and the mountains and the hills why they're behaving like that. What it is that they've encountered. Why was it, sea, that you fled? Why, Jordan, did you turn back? Why, mountains, did you leap like rams, you hills like lambs? And then verse 7 provides the answer. Tremble, earth, at the presence of the Lord, at the presence of the God of Jacob. The presence of someone does something, doesn't it? The presence of something or someone always does something. When someone walks into a room, the feeling of that room changes, the dynamic of that room changes. Before they've said or done anything, just by their presence. My parents-in-law used to have a lovely lady called Nita, who would come and do a little bit of cleaning for them, which was a fantastic name for a cleaner, I always thought, Nita. But we used to have to be so careful whenever she was in the house, because every time, without fail, that she realized that you were in the room or she just came across you, she would jump out of her skin, to the extent that you felt was quite dangerous for her. So you'd have to kind of make some noise when you were about to enter the room that she was cleaning in. Our presence does something, but no one's presence does what the Lord's presence does. What could move an ocean? What could make a river turn back and flow uphill? What could shake a mountain? Simply the presence of the living God. God's presence is awesome. There's a storm on the planet Jupiter that is bigger than the Earth, apparently. That is nothing compared to the power of the presence of the Lord. Nothing, no person, no storm, no earthquake or volcano or planet or star, nothing in all creation comes close. And in Jesus, we see the fullest expression of this reality. Revelation chapter 20, verse 11. In this verse, we see that it's not just oceans and rivers and mountains, but the whole of earth and heaven that flees from the presence of Jesus on the throne. Then I saw a great white throne and him who was seated on it. The earth and the heavens fled from his presence, and there was no place for them. So point one on the handout, quite simply, God's presence is awesome. Point number two, God's presence saves. When Israel had come to the Red Sea in Exodus 14, they were trapped. They were at the mercy of the rapidly approaching Egyptian army. God parted the waters and led them through to safety. When they came to the River Jordan in Joshua 3, they'd been wandering the wilderness for 40 years. They were desperate for home. God parted the waters and led them through to the home that he had promised them. The presence of God saved his people. And there's more going on here than just God's power over nature. In the Bible, waters like this are often symbolic of the powers of evil, of chaos, of death, the enemies of God, basically. So what these stories and this psalm is saying is that God's presence also has the power to save his people from evil. That when God comes in power, his enemies flee before him. It's not even a contest. They're utterly overwhelmed and panicked. And again, it's in Jesus that we see this most fully. Just like the presence of God parted the waters for Israel, so Jesus, by going into death and coming out again the other side, makes a way through the waters of death for his people to follow. Death could not hold him, and the great enemy was overcome. Hebrews chapter 2 says this: since the children have flesh and blood, he too shared in their humanity, so that by his death he might break the power of him who holds the power of death, that is the devil, and free those who all their lives were held in slavery by their fear of death. When Jesus died, we're told that the earth shook and rocks split. When he rose from the dead, we're told there was a great earthquake. It's a lot like the psalm. Why, mountains, did you leap like rams, you hills like lambs? Tremble, earth, at the presence of the Lord, at the presence of the God of Jacob, at the presence of Jesus. God's presence saves. Imagine back, I think again back to the storm I was describing earlier. Imagine that you're standing in that storm. You're in awe. You're a bit afraid of the scale, the power, feeling vulnerable, feeling this is bigger than you. Now imagine that that storm has awareness, has will, has agency, and that its whole intention is to protect you. God is not just awesomely present. He is present with intention, and that intention is to save. And the full weight of that loving power is devoted completely to any who will trust in Jesus. Which brings us on to point 3 on the handout. God's presence is with us. Look back to verses 1 and 2 again. When Israel came out of Egypt, Jacob from a people of foreign tongue, Judah became God's sanctuary, Israel his dominion. For Israel in the story, redemption, rescue, was followed immediately by God's presence coming to be with them. And it is exactly the same for us if we're trusting in Jesus, only in an even greater, even more amazing way. Acts chapter 2, Peter replied, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." Or John chapter 14, Jesus speaking, "I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to help you and be with you forever, the Spirit of truth. You know him, for he lives with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you." And then a bit later in that chapter, verse 23, "My Father will love them, and we will come to them and make our home with them." Israel had God's presence physically near them, but not in a way that was accessible. Christians have God's Spirit inside them. God himself, God's presence in their hearts. Recently, I was telling my daughter, Rosie, the story of Rapunzel. We got a picture of Rapunzel's Tower. Anyone know what film that's from? Tangled, Jess. Well done. Children's worker. It's good. But yeah, think back to old fairy tales like that, Rapunzel, Sleeping Beauty. In those stories, often the prince rescues the princess. And what happens next? Often the two get married. And the same in countless other stories. Rescue is then followed by closeness and commitment. The same was true for God and Israel in the Old Testament. The same is true for Jesus and the church in the New Testament. And marriage language is often used of God's relationship to his people. And surely I am with you always, Jesus says, to the very end of the age. Rescue is followed by closeness. God, this awesome presence, is with us right now, in this moment, with you, in you, if you're trusting in Jesus. Every day of your life, everywhere you go. And he is present with saving intention. God is present to overcome his enemies in our life, to deliver us from sin, from Satan, from death. Meaning that however big and powerful and scary those things might seem in our lives at different points, we can look them in the eye and say with the confidence of the psalmist, tremble at the presence of the God of Jacob. So, what should we make of this incredible truth? What should we do with the, what should the fact that God is present with us do to us? First, we should tremble. Not in fear, like his enemies should, not with that kind of fear, but with a kind of awe. We should be like Jacob in Genesis 28, which will be on the screen. When Jacob awoke from his sleep, he thought, "Surely the Lord is in this place, and I was not aware of it." He was afraid and said, "How awesome is this place? This is none other than the house of God. This is the gate of heaven." This is the kind of realization that we should be coming back to every single day, not about a place, but about ourselves. How often do you stop to remember that the living God is present with you? I think we would live differently. I think I would live differently for the better if we lived with more of this kind of awareness. And this is something that we can bring into our praise, into our singing together as when we gather on Sundays. Our praise of God. When we do that, we should be addressing God not with a kind of sense of him as distant, as kind of out there, vaguely maybe hearing our voices somewhere in the background, but with a sense of him as right here among us. Second, we can go forwards in the Christian life with confidence. After they were rescued from Egypt, God's people faced fearsome enemies in the wilderness and in the promised land. But they could go forwards towards these enemies with fierce confidence, being strong and courageous because they knew that the living God was with them. And we can too. We can go forwards in the Christian life with confidence, knowing that sin and Satan will assault us, knowing they'll do their best, knowing that we will one day have to pass through our own physical death like Jesus did, but knowing that Jesus will deliver us from it all. And finally, we can be open to how God might want to bless us with his presence. The psalm ends with verse 8. "The presence of the God of Jacob, who turned the rock into a pool, the hard rock into springs of water." One commentator said about this verse, "The psalm ends on the note of God's quiet creativity and care, his power directed to the point of need, transforming what is least promising into a place of plenty and a source of joy. God's presence with us is often not experienced as mountains leaping or rivers turning back or all the power of a furious storm, but in the quiet, gentle ways that he blesses us, ways that we're often unaware of. His presence is life-giving and sustaining. It's what our hearts need. It's what they were made for. And it's part of the blessing of the Christian life to live with a growing familiarity with this presence, the presence that we're encountering all the time in ourselves, outside of ourselves. We can live with an openness to that. This verse is referencing God providing water from the rock for his people, Israel, in the wilderness. Jesus picks up on this when he says in John chapter 7, "On the last and greatest day of the festival, Jesus stood and said in a loud voice, 'Let anyone who is thirsty come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as scripture has said, rivers of living water will flow from within them.' By this he meant the Spirit, whom those who believed in him were later to receive." If you want the presence of God to be with you and for you forever, come to Jesus. Believe in him. And the Spirit will be given to you. God himself will come to you. So we pray. Our Father, we praise you, living God, for the awesome God that you are. Lord, your presence would be utterly overwhelming if we were to experience it fully. There is no one like you. Lord, it is just incredible that you would choose to come this close, to make your home in us. Thank you. Thank you that we can know you in this way. Praise you, Jesus, for what you have done to make that possible for us. Thank you for the gift of your Spirit. Please, Lord, make us aware of that. Make us attentive. Help us to live with that knowledge, to live in that truth. Please show us the different ways that you are blessing us, that you are sustaining us. Thank you that your presence is with us to bless and to save. Thank you for the confidence we can have because of your presence with us. We praise you, Lord. Pray that we would live joyfully as people who know you. We thank you, Lord. Amen.